Bo Bichette, though, again, this guy, he's going to be a player. Like, he's not going to make the team out of camp. We all know that. I'm not sure we're going to see him at any point this year, but he's going to get here at some point. And if he does, he'll be following his father's footsteps because his old man, Dante Bichette, played for a long time in the majors, and we've never caught up with him before. But he joins us now on Overdrive. Here is Dante Bichette Sr. How you doing, Dante?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing well, man. You played a long time in the league, and we got a couple of former pro athletes themselves, and when they hung them up, they took off. They never tracked the game
again. Our host just used a phrase in describing your son, saying he's not going to make the team out of camp. What do you think of that philosophy where it's, you should never judge anybody on what they can and cannot do? You know, there's all kinds of sports where it's like there's a timeline for this guy and he's not ready, but if you're good enough, shouldn't you play whenever you want? I mean, Stroman came out and made some comments saying these guys should be here. What are your thoughts on when you are ready or how to figure that out?
Boy, you know, I think they've got to get a little bit of double-A time and then see where they're at this year. I think that's where they're probably going. So I think, you know, if they start killing it in double A, then it's, you know, they say double A, you could play in the big league. So, but there's moves to be made. They've got people on the team. I don't know the dynamics of that team. So when I hear, Stroman say that, maybe he's, I don't know. Maybe he's just pumping up the rookies and it's all in fun. Maybe people are blowing it out of proportion a little bit, but I know the kids are having fun and they're looking forward to getting better this year.
Well, that's how I kind of saw it. Was I think Marcus was just, he was pumping the tires of the two highly touted prospects. But at the same time, you know, if he's being honest, that means they're making the team and two guys aren't making the team that are big leaguers that have been kicking around the league for a long time. And I would assume that from your standpoint, you can kind of appreciate what it's like to be an everyday veteran and have the kids chasing you. I'm sure you went through that a lot throughout your career.
I think it's good for everybody. That's what makes us, you know, keep our game up. So, and I think also these young guys have surprised a little bit by how quick they look like they're getting ready, you know. So, it's just fun to watch for me. Luckily, I don't have to make any decisions.
With Dante Bichette. Yeah, we were, you know, it's going to be a storyline all year, and hopefully years to come for the Blue Jays and for Blue Jays fans. But when you watch your kid, Bo Bichette, start moving up the ranks, and he's always in every top 100 list for top-ranked prospects, does it remind you of your own journey? Did you take a different approach to getting to the majors? How would you compare where he's at to where you were at?
Heck no. I don't even think I hit 360 in high school. So I don't know. I've never been where he is. I know when I stopped teaching him and I started learning from him because he's got such a good head and hitting. I just kind of want to know because it's kind of a gift he's got. He thinks really well at the plate, so it's just fun to really listen to him and learn from him a little bit. He's beyond me right now.
Do you debate the prospects list when it comes out? Are you pushing for your kid to be even further up these rankings?
You know... Boy, I debate them. I'm not saying they should be further up, but I think, you know, they're all over the board. They're basically an opinion, so I don't think they're, you know, the hottest, latest guy is going to get moved up, but yeah, I don't care about them.
You're biased a little bit, though. There's nothing wrong with that. He's your kid. I'd be saying the same thing. Throughout your career, how did you feel about playing at the Sky Dome, now Rogers Center?
Oh, I love that place. Absolutely loved it. I thought Toronto was one of the coolest cities, very clean city. I love Canada. I played 3 years in Edmonton. I got to see Gretzky play. McSorley used to come out and take batting practice with us. So I love it up there. I think Bo will too.
With Dante Bichette, we have a guy who's from Edmonton.
I grew up in Edmonton,
right here on the show.
It's a good city. I mean, were you with the Trappers then?
Yeah, I was with the Trappers. Wow. I was actually there the day they traded Gretzky. Oh my gosh, were you there then? Because
my mom and my aunt were crying in the kitchen.
I was too in Toronto in my driveway.
They were crying all over the street. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, that was a bit of a big story in Edmonton.
It was just a touch of a big story, exactly.
Right. The Trappers were on the second page of the sports section that day, I think.
Yeah.
Is there one park you really want to see your kid Bo playing?
Oh, man, I would like to see him one day playing Coors Field. I think he grew up, you know, a Red Sox fan. I think he would love playing at Fenway. I think I'd just love to see him playing and enjoying himself in all of them.
Yeah, Fenway, he'd get a lot of opportunities as a Blue Jay.
So you played so many years. What type of advice do you give your sons as far as working up the ranks? And obviously you can give them some technical hitting advice, but do you give them kind of the behind-the-curtain advice as far as handling it or getting to the pros and how they should conduct themselves, whether on and off the field?
Yeah, I do, and there's a way to do it. You know, there's a way to handle yourself, and I try to help him. His mom's real good with it, too, but he's pretty good with it himself. He knows, you know, how far to take things, and he stands up for himself well, but he doesn't demand anything. He just said, listen, this is what I think. I know you guys make the decisions. This is how I feel. So he handles himself really well.
Well, we're all tracking them up here in Toronto. There's a lot of Blue Jays fans looking forward to seeing Bo Bichette make his Major League debut. And I know when that happens, you'll probably be in the building. And we look forward to having you up here in Toronto when that happens. Thank you for doing this today.
All right, thanks, guys. Look forward to seeing it.
Dante Bichette, former Edmonton Trapper.
Wow.
The Trappers.
Well, they used to
What is that, like a summer?
It's a AAA, like it's a AAA league or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they used to have, you remember the lefty Fernando Valenzuela?
Yeah, Valenzuela.
Yeah, he was up there for years.
He rolled through Edmonton?
Yeah.
He had a boiler on him. He would just...
Man, did he make an impact.
I was going to ask Dante, but I wasn't sure if I dated him, if he played with Fernando or not. I probably could have asked him that question.
He was in the house in Edmonton the day they traded Gretzky. That's a great reference to have.
Man.
Like in Edmonton the day Gretzky got traded.
I'll never forget the guy dropped the newspaper off. I was skateboarding at my buddy's, and he just dropped the paper on the ground, and we looked down. It said, Gretzky's been traded. So that would have been the day after, because I didn't have...
Yeah, I guess so.
That was nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, think about that trade, but like, it's almost like a moment where you remember exactly where you were.
Yeah.
Like, I remember where I was. And I didn't grow up an Oilers fan, but I certainly grew up a fan of Wayne Gretzky and Grant Fear and a lot of the guys on that team. And, like, that whole city, like, shook. Like I say, people wanted to, like, Peter Pocklington had to, like, run for his life.
Yeah.
Like, the kidnapping wasn't because of the trade, but, like, people disliked Peter Pocklington.
It wouldn't have been shocking if someone did something really stupid.
And the owner
to the owner of the Oilers.
The owner here had some issues for years.
Harold Ballard was... I would have to believe he would be unanimously accepted as the most hated person ever associated with the Toronto sports scene.
Just because of the way he conducted his life?
Yeah,
or his...
and it's just he was cheap, he was vicious, he was mean, he turned on the players, they lost all the time, everything. Everything.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was a bad scene, man, when Harold Ballard was kicking around.
Like, I bet you, like I say, you probably sit around with your dad, and your dad will tell Ballard stories.
Absolutely. Yeah, he grew up with the Ballard era. Like, that was his prime era. It was not fun being a Leaf fan with him.
Wow.
And that's why the 80s, like, that's why, you know, it's this is the beauty of a long-standing franchise, where you've got all these different generations that have been through so many different things and so many different experiences.
Right, right.
And having the conversations. Like, I'd always make the argument that the years from, like, 07, 08 through until recently were the worst years.
Yeah, 2012, 2013,
years.
Yeah.
But you talk to Leaf fans over the age of 50, they're like, nothing matches the 80s. Like, nothing matches that.
Or Ballard
Ballard tore the team a strip, and they were brutal all the time. It was just ugly.